Here is Voice of Indonesia with the news. Indonesian Minister of Environment Faisal Nurofik reminded that many disturbances threaten Indonesia's biodiversity, including on very small islands such as Raja Ampat, which have high ecological value. Reported by AntaraNews.com, at the opening of 2025 Environment Day Expo and Forum in Jakarta on Sunday, he said his ministry will join other ministries and institutions to monitor issues affecting small islands in Indonesia. The small islands are considered vulnerable when they become sites for extractive activities such as mineral mining, including nickel mining activities in the Raja Ampat region, southwest Papua. Indonesia's Deputy Minister of Tourism, Niluh Puspa, noted that there has been no apparent impact on the number of tourist arrivals from Australia so far, following a shooting incident involving three Australians in Bali. In a statement on Sunday, Deputy Minister Niluh Puspa said the shooting was not related to the travel warning updated by the Australian government on June 20th. Reported by Antara, the Australian government's official travel information service, Smart Traveller, updated information on travel advice for Indonesia, especially regarding potential penalties caused by offensive behaviour towards local customs, strong recurrence at beaches, and the risks of drink spiking. The Deputy Minister stated that such a warning is common advisory for Australian citizens to increase their vigilance while travelling, a practice also implemented by the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism for its citizens travelling abroad. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Yang pertama yang kita diberi. percaya. Tak masuk logika. Padamu ku percaya. Tak masuk logika. Tak masuk logika. Padamu ku percaya. Tak masuk logika. Padamu ku percaya. Padamu ku percaya. Tak masuk logika.
Tak masuk logika.
Padamu ku percaya. Tak masuk logika.
And it was his voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. You are still listening to the broadcast of Radio Republik Indonesia. And now we are going to talk about a very, very viral thing that is happening in internet, which is various online community groups are emerging. And these groups are talking about intentionally not paying online loans. But we are going to see what is really happening in here and what need to be done by, well, both the people who are borrowing money and also the money lender. And to talk about this has been joining us the economy expert of North Sumatra Islamic University, or WISU, Pak Benjamin Gunawan. Good morning, Pak Benjamin.
Good morning. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you very much, sir, for coming to us. So, sir, about this phenomenon, what is your first response about it?
Yeah, there is a group of social media that invites people not to pay online for installments, yeah, or we call it as pinjaman online or pinjol, as we know as galba, yeah, galba bayar or failure to pay. This group sends invitations and seeks to avoid payment obligations for online loan companies. And what I heard, community or group encourage their members not to pay the online loans they have received, even providing information on how to avoid debt collection from loan companies. I think that this kind of invitation has the potential to harm communities because they will have a track record of debt defaulters and make it difficult for them to get financing from financial institutions in the future, which will essentially make them have to pay off their debt obligation first before they plan to apply for financial institutions. So the effort to avoid debt at this time will actually not last long. They will return to complete all their obligations before they decide to get funding sources from banks or especially for financial institutions. That's it.
Okay. And so, as we can see, a lot of people are using this service, the online loan. But what is actually the real reason people are failing to pay their loan? Is it their purchasing ability, their income, or maybe these online loans have something like hidden charges? Or what is really happening here?
Yeah, there are many factors that can trigger people's loan default. Some of these factors include weakening purchasing power, high interest rate, of course the high charges, high inflation, income that never decreases, or even losing income. Plus, lately there has been a lot of news about layoffs. So there are indeed many reasons that can explain this. But I think the most important thing that triggers this default is more influenced by declining ability of the community to pay. It is undeniable that the slowing rate of global economic growth and the economy in the country is soon the picture of the overall economic conditions of the community. When viewed from the interest side, indeed the interest on online loans or pinjol provide higher interest compared to similar loan products from banks, while lender must also bear greater risk compared to loans that have collateral or underlying assets that charge low interest. But if we refer to character, which is reference to lender's credit or creditor, before giving loans in general. I don't see character as the main reason for borrowers not to pay their obligation. Although it seems that the invitation not to pay online loan leads to the formation of bad character in the community, especially to fight against the obligation. It is as if we are convinced that this online loan is an unsecured loan and provides high interest, so there is no big and fundamental problem if we do not pay it. More or less, like this is the message that is being conveyed. It's the problem, I think.
Okay.
Some people think that in house we don't have to pay the debt because there is no underlying asset that they have to lose. And then the other side, the interest is high, and then there is hidden charges. So this is the reason why so many people in the community is triggered to not pay the debt.
But apparently, if you do not pay the debt, there is a record about your own credit, isn't it right, sir? Like the bay checking, everybody has it, even me and you, maybe, according to your purchases, according to your financing and social loans. But then, as we have mentioned about how banks are giving loan, which is quite requiring thorough background checkings before giving loans. What about the online loans? Do they need to implement similar ways like banks, sir?
Yeah, I think so. But that the online lending companies are indeed featured in providing credit to the public. The stage of online financing so far has been quite practical, and it has resulted in many borrowers using online loans. The selection stage must be carried out more strictly, and for regulators, there should be rules that require that there is no indiscriminate credit distribution. For some people, yeah, especially for the business actor, do not pay the debt is make them in difficulties when they are going to make a new installment in the near future. But of course, yeah. Basically, the online loan has there is so many easy to get loans from online companies, but basically it's just the same. The online loan that especially for the online companies doesn't require complicated and specific obligations compared to the banking. There are many convenience given to prospective borrowers. Easy and unsecured requirements are the advantages that make the first people online loans or pinjol. And online creditors do not have the deeper opportunity to dig into their first profile. Now, this is the mistake. Because once the company thinks that the debtor, they don't think about the character of the debtor, this is the mistake that they have to face. Because when there is a social media that invite them to not pay, this is the problem that they have to avoid it. Especially considering the character of the debtor before being given loan. This is the problem that we have to solve. Yeah. They have to be focused when before the company loan giving the loan to the public. However, the impact produced when the loan is in default is the same. This means that the debtor will be faced with a system that will record all payment records while being a debtor. This is what should be a concern for those who plan to deliberately not make payments, because it will make them lose the opportunity to get financing in the future, both from loans on banking and lose from the company, the online company. And it will be a serious problem if those who intend not to pay are business actors. This can worse the character of the store in the eyes of the financial institution overall.
And of course, this thing is applicable not only in Indonesia but in the whole world. If you do not pay, you will not be getting financial support if you need it in the future. So lastly, sir, for everybody, what needs to be done so that we can avoid failing to pay, sir?
I think that if the debtor is still able to pay his debt obligation, the debtor should not intentionally not fulfill the obligation. Make payments regularly according to the agreement agreed upon the beginning. If unable to pay, it is better to coordinate with the creditors to apply for relief. In this context, creditors must be also be able to consider the wishes of the debtors. For debtors, especially those who really heavily on financial loans from the from official financial institution, especially those who rely heavily on financial loans from official financial institution, intentionally not paying debt will clearly create new difficulties in the future. Maintain a good name in front of financial institutions so that the future capital matters can be accommodated and make it easier to get new financing. I think there is no reason to follow the invitation to not pay the debt. It is make us as a bad debtor and make our name in the financial culture, in the financial institution is worsening. And then this is not productive to create more money, especially for the business actors. And I believe some of the people who get invited to not pay the debt are the actors of the people who run the business, just like a small medium enterprise in Indonesia.
I see. So we really need to pay, do not intentionally not paying for your own safety. Okay, thank you very much, Pak Benjamin, for sharing with us. And we wish that it is not only applicable in Indonesia, but also in the whole world. So we wish that it's going to be very useful for all of us. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much.
Listener, that is Mr. Benjamin Gunawan, the economic expert from North Sumatra Islamic University, and more from Indonesia is coming up next. In a moment, we will be also talking still about financing, but this one is related to the conflict between Iran and Israel. Stay tuned on Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. still tuned to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, international concern emerges that Iran-Israel war might result in, well, so many economic impact in the world, especially the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. Especially on Sunday, the Parliament of Iran approves the blockage of the Strait of Hormuz. And as we know, that big portion of global oil trade consumption depends on this trade being open. So in terms of economy, how would that affect Indonesia and what needs to be done about it? Let's talk about it with the Vice Director of INDEF, Pak Eko Listianto. Good morning, Pak Eko.
Yeah, good morning, Steve.
So as we know that the whole world, the media are talking about it in India and so many things. Even recently, Pertamina has made a statement that they will reconsider alternative route for this, sir. So regarding to this, what is the worst scenario that might happen?
If we talk the worst scenario, especially for Indonesian economy, there is big impact with this situation, especially if Iran will block the Hormuz Strait. I think the impact for the global oil price is significant, so it will also give impact for our Indonesian economy, especially because most of our oil, it's come from the other country. We import a big portion of oil, so I think this is will make oil in our economy will also price, and when the we call BBM or petroleum will increase, it will affect for the our economies. At the same time, we still face the declining of the purchasing power. So I think it's the double effect for us.
It's gonna be a double impact for us. And talking about the oil itself, sir, Pertamina says it's going to change the route. Will that also ease or even reduce the impact of this?
Yeah, I think that statement, I think for the to make sure that there is no panic in our domestic economy. But in the reality, it's not easy to try to buy from the another country, maybe. And also, it is about the cost itself. Because if we change the resource of the oil, we will have maybe the price it also increase because the distribution cost it's different if we use the Hormuz Strait and without use Hormuz Strait, I think.
And then what needs to be done by Indonesia? As we know, it is quite, if that really happens, it's inevitable towards our economy. Are we just can only sit tight and wait for the impact? Or is there any other things that the stakeholders, the government, the companies in Indonesia can do about this?
Yeah, of course, we need to do something. At least don't just sit and wait until the situation is normal again. We need to, I think we, especially for the government, need to try some policy that actually we need to focus on long-term goals about the, our energy sovereignty, at least security, our security energy. With this, we have some plan for this to make sure that in the future we will have energy that can support for our economy. So, if the Hormuz Strait is blocked by Iran, so I think the best solution, of course, in the short term, we need to try to find the other buyers. But in the long term, I think we need to push our alternative energy, or maybe renewable energy. We have so much biodiesel that this is also useful in this situation, and we know that in the future, I think the Middle East it's always fluctuative. Always there is geopolitical tension in there. So I think it's better for us to make sure that our long-term plan about energy, it's done, yeah, step by step. Yeah.
And of course, dependency on one thing can be quite harmful, just like what is happening. As you said, that Middle East is always fluctuating. So where should we go? Where should we put our focus next if the Middle East is fluctuating? Can we get another sources like in Asia especially, sir? Or is there any other thing that we can do so that Indonesia and maybe in the greater aspect, which is Southeast Asia, we can be strong by ourselves?
Yeah, I think if we talk about like ASEAN or South Asia, I think Southeast Asia, I think we have chance to make sure that if we collaborate together to make strong our energy, I think there is a way, I think, in there. Yeah. But we need to a close collaboration with Singapore, Malaysia, and the other country. And especially also to push the alternative energy, not just oil, because in the Middle East, also try to make sure that in the future they also not depend on oil export.
And as long as that you have seen, sir, according to INDEF, what kind of potential that Indonesia already has that should be developed further in long term to avoid similar cases like this?
Yeah, actually we have natural gas, and also we have so many renewable energy, but of course in this time, the price and how the research and development, we need to do some policies to make sure that it will happen in the future, but actually we have the resource to do this, to make sure that in the future we have a good situation in energy.
So we have the potential, we just need to make the good plan for the long term. Okay, thank you very much Pak Eko for joining us in this very short talk. And we wish that the government and all stakeholders will be able to avoid or maybe to reduce the impact. Thank you very much, Pak Eko. And listener, that is Pak Eko Listianto, the Vice Director of Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF. And you can listen again to this on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Sana. Maklum status kita LDR-an, lewat pulsa kita pun bersua. Tanggung bulan, dompet gemeteran, HP lowbat, paketku pun is dead. Cafe yang sesuai budget, demi update dirimu di gadget.
Mencari wifi yang untuk dirimu, mencari wifi dalam mangkat ketemu. Mencari wifi untuk hati. Habis kuota, aku mati gaya. Apa daya, aku di rumah aja.
Cari wifi. Valley, located in Situ Gunung Sukabumi, is an attractive tourist destination and offers amazing natural beauty. Visiting it, you will be invited to explore an exotic forest area by witnessing the magnificent waterfall in a green valley. According to reports, the origin of the naming of Purba, which means ancient in English, comes from the valley area, which is surrounded by ancient trees that have existed for thousands of years. To explore Rembah Purba or Purba Valley, you should be accompanied by a guide who will not only show you the way, but also explain the various types of plants that exist in the area of Situ Gunung Sukabumi as well. You have to take a journey that takes approximately 1 hour from the main gate of Situ Gunung Suspension Bridge. The journey starts by crossing the pride of Situ Gunung, namely the 243-meter-long suspension bridge. Besides that, you will pass 8 bridges with the different levels of excitement. Even though you go through several trekking routes that are not easy, you don't need to worry because before leaving, you will be equipped with safety gears. After walking along the many bridges, you will pass a path as well as through a cliff that is about 8 meters high. The most extreme is that you will pass a bridge that can only be passed by one person, not to mention the considerable height. This trip will really boost your adrenaline. On the bridge, many visitors usually will take pictures, so the journey for about 1 hour doesn't feel tiring. Lembah Purba is open every day from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on weekdays and to 5 p.m. on weekends. You can use your own vehicles to arrive at the parking area, then you will be escorted using a special bus until you arrive at the Lembah Purba post. What must be considered when exploring the Sukabumi Ancient Valley is to use comfortable and non-slippery footwear. Wear a jacket to keep out the cold air, and preferably in the morning so you have enough time to explore.
Rumahku adalah kamu. Listener, kolintang is traditional instrument from Minahasa people in North Sulawesi. This instrument is made from special wood which is arranged and played by being hit. At a glance, kolintang is similar with gambang, traditional instruments from Java. But the tone produced is more complete and a little bit different to play it. Kolintang is quite known among Minahasa community and often used to accompany traditional ceremony, dance, and even musical performance. According to the history, kolintang has existed since the past and used by people for traditional ceremony associated with the worship of ancestral spirits. Since Christians and Islam entered to Minahasa land, kolintang is not functioned as accompaniment of traditional ceremony, dance, song, or musical performance. Earlier, kolintang only consisted of some pieces of wood, which were put and arranged parallel on two legs of the player. Then it was developed by using two banana stems. Kolintang has begun to use resonator crate since Prince Diponegoro was in Minahasa. Kolintang is made from wood which is cut suitable with its size and arranged on the wooden base which function as a resonator. The wood which is used for making kolintang is usually from special one, which is quite light and its fiber arranged to form parallel lines. The wood is usually from wood of Telur, Bandaran, Wenang, and Kakinik. In the development, kolintang consists of several different types. The difference can be heard from its sounds which is produced. Listener, before we talk more about kolintang, let's listen to kolintang rhythm.
Thank you.
Bintang consists of 9 types, namely Loai or base, Sela or shallow, Karua tenor 1, Karua Rua tenor 2, Uner alto 1, Uner Rua alto 2, Katelu ukulele, Inaesa melody 1, Inarua melody 2, and Inataweng melody 3. To play kolintang is beaten by using special sticks. To produce good sound, usually the tip of the sticks is given cloth pads, like gamelan pad. There are 3 sticks which are given number. Stick number 1 is usually used on the left hand, while number 2 and 3 are held on the right hand in between the fingers accordance with chord which is played. Like other instruments in general, kolintang has own chord which is beaten together. But for kolintang, bass and melody are usually without chord, but it is adapted with tone which is produced so that to play it only needs 2 stick. Today the function of kolintang is more varied, either played to accompany dance, song, or in the orchestra. In the kolintang performance, all kinds of the instruments are played simultaneously so that it produces fitting and catchy tones. But for professional players, only 6 instruments are able to produce complete sounds. Well, listener, that was a glimpse of instrument from North Sulawesi. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, and to conclude the rhythm of the Indonesian archipelago for today, let's listen to kolintang rhythm. Thank you for listening.
Tibalah saatnya. Jangan peduli semua apa kata mereka. Kalau kita sebut malam ini bulan tersenyum, lihat kita menari, bintang berkelip mengikuti irama nada melodi lagu kita.
Malam ini kan membebaskan diri dari tegang beban. Setelah ku lalui hari yang melelahkan, senyum senyam, kilau bintang menyapa dalam kebersamaan. Waktunya bagiku untuk beraksi, chemistry alami bereaksi, sinkronisasi frekuensi. What we need right now is a party.
Jangan peduli semua apa kata mereka. Salah kita semua.
Thank you for staying tuned on RRW Service Voice of Indonesia by using the RRI Digital Mobile app. You can enjoy directly the programs of all RRI stations across Indonesia, including your favorite playlist, inspirational podcast, and the latest video news. You can immediately interact with us by using like, comment, share, and also live chat. RRI Digital, a solution for entertainment and information in your hands. Download now on Google Play and Apple App Store.
Cinta takkan pernah usai, meski cinta dalam derita. Saat harapan yang gelap kan memudar, cinta tetap ada walau di dera.
Aku kan di sini. Kenyataan harus kulalui. Akan ku lari walau memang pahit, walau ku menangis tetap ku berdiri. Meski hancurnya hatiku, meski berat beban ini, namun ku tak sendiri. Karena cinta sertaku, meski harus ku lewati 1000 jalan yang berliku, namun ku tahu pasti dalam hidupku cinta takkan usai.
Aku kan di sini
dan aku di sini.